Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping.
Let's welcome in our next guest, Brad Faxon, PGA Tour Champions player. Just the Facts podcast, as this golf report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Pick your favorite Subaru at the Adventure Picking event. Brad, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. I've spent a lot of the day practicing, teaching a French superstar who just won her first European Tour event. And she and I were comparing the results here. She, of course, is for Europe and obviously for America, but I got a good friend that was on the first tee today at 7:05 at the tee time, and he said he's been to Super Bowls, he's been to World Series, and he said, this is the greatest sporting event I've ever been to.
That's awesome, Fax. We were just talking about Bryson. What do you make of him in this format? I mean, he hit some drives today. One was 417 yards. As his partner, are you just trying to say, look, I'm going to get one out there. He's playing with Scheffler, and you just go nuts. Who cares where it goes? How do you make him most effective? He did take advantage on that particular hole, by the way, and he had a little chip shot to 3 feet, and he made it.
So, yeah, I mean, I think Bryson DeChambeau, you could use a lot of adjectives to describe him as a person or what he's trying to do. He's certainly a contrarian. He's a disruptor. He's trying to do things differently than anybody's ever done before, hiring long drive hitters to help him learn how to hit it far. His strategy has worked a lot of times gloriously at Winged Foot when he won the U.S. Open, and then he's plummeted several times when he can't find the club face, where he's missed cuts at majors, but he's always exciting to watch. And I think Scottie Scheffler, you might not know his name much in Canada. He came out of the University of Texas, long hitter, big tall guy, very good putter, led the tour or close to the lead in birdies for the season. He's a great partner to have. They would have played a lot together growing up. They know each other's personalities, which is really important when you're playing any kind of a four ball like they are. And the idiosyncrasies of Bryson, I don't think Scheffler worries about it too much. And if he hits a good shot, he's going to make a birdie.
Facts, there were some decisions today by both captains I found in the late sessions to be a little bit weird and possibly overthinking. Rahm was paired with Garcia. They won. Johnson and Morikawa won, I think, fairly easily. And both captains split those teams up. What is your thinking in those decisions?
It's really interesting to see strategies by certain captains and how they work. Certainly, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, the last Ryder Cup, won three matches, the most any American pairings, or tied for the most any American pairings ever had. Why you split them up, maybe it's at the request of one of the players that we don't do. Maybe it's at the strategy of, I'm going to get all of my players on the course in the first day to make sure they know what it feels like. And I'm going to use some player maybe that's really playing well to somebody that's maybe not playing as well. And that's why you maybe see Paul Casey with Bern Wiesberger, who's been a steady player and a good hitter of the ball. So it's interesting to see that. Certainly the powerhouse team with McIlroy being split up. So now he's with Shane Lowry, who's a fellow countryman of his. It's interesting to see all these dynamics, and you don't know exactly why, other than I'm sure each captain wants to make sure all the players see the golf course. And, you know, Paul Azinger made this term, the pods, you know, the players that get along or have personalities similarly to each other, and group them together.
Mm-hmm. Brad Faxon joining us here on Overdrive. I do have to ask, so this is, the course is Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. Who do you think the course favors when we're looking at the Americans and the Europeans?
Yeah, you know, it's one of the most complex courses I've ever seen. Personally, I played at a couple PGA championships there. To be able to stand on these tees and really try to understand where you're supposed to hit shots. But what Pete Dye, the golf course architect, did that. I think he was in the he was a forerunner to the long drives. He's pinched in. He narrowed a lot of the landing areas for the longer hitters. So if you're going to hit it far, you better hit it straight. And as far as these players hit the ball, as big as they are, Rahm, Koepka, DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, these guys need to have some sense of accuracy. But I think Stricker and the home team captain always gets the choice on how the course is going to be set up. He elected to have the rough mown down, so it's very little rough off the fairways, and I think that's an advantage, too, and it certainly shows it from the foursomes matches where typically the American side's never as good, that having little or no rough is helping the long hitters.
You mentioned, you know, the young U.S. players. Is the influx of new talent, no Tiger, no Phil, a positive for the U.S. squad?
100%. I was lucky enough to play on two Ryder Cup teams in 95 and 97. And 97 was Tiger's first Ryder Cup. And Brandel Chamblee, the Golf Channel analyst down here, who is as detailed a sports analyst as anybody I've ever seen, predicted that the U.S. would romp. And they would romp because of two reasons. Number one, and two, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are not on the team. If you look at their records when they were American players, when they were on the Ryder Cup team, their records have been subpar. We've lost 8 of the last 11 Ryder Cups, and most of those were with both Phil and Tiger on the team. And now you're seeing 6 rookies on the American team. And Scheffler was one of those players that we said, I think he's going to be a great player. Daniel Berger, who has the tenacity and the ability to play with somebody as tough as Brooks Koepka. They grew up together down here in West Palm Beach, where I am right now. I think Stricker did a good job with his picks. He could have maybe picked a few other players that had more experience, but 6 rookies is an incredible, it's daunting sometimes, but I think these guys now are so confident with their game and their control of the golf ball, they want to be there.
Brad, I kind of have a two-part question for you because you talked about the atmosphere, you know, watching it start today. I think like Sergio Garcia was coming on out and just the boos. I mean, you could feel it coming through the TV, right? Like it was loud. Being on American soil, the Europeans just not going to get any kind of slack whatsoever by that fan base. So maybe you can talk a little bit truly on what that atmosphere is like. And the second part, of course, is, and I know that it's only been 2 times, right? But obviously golf being reintroduced into the Olympics 2016 and then this one, Tokyo, with no spectators, I know can still be tough. Do you ever think the way they treat the Ryder Cup, and I know it's America versus Europe, do you think the Olympics would ever get there?
That's a great question, and my answer is yes, I do. And I think a big convert to that this year was Rory McIlroy, who skipped the 2016 Olympics in South America. And after going to Japan this year, with no fans, mind you, and he said it was one of the greatest experiences of his golfing life. When you go to play in a Ryder Cup in your home country, you will never feel the support like you do there. My first Ryder Cup in 95 was in Rochester, New York, at Oak Hill, the famed Oak Hill, and the crowds on Monday or Tuesday for the practice round were as big as I've ever seen, chants like we don't ever see, and the most nervous moment of my life was the practice round first tee shot on that Tuesday. I walked on the first tee with my playing partners, Corey Pavin, Peter Jacobson, and Lauren Robertson. Standing there was President George Herbert Walker Bush and Byron Nelson. And I was in there going, go USA, and then a voice of God says, next on the tee, Brad Faxon. I thought I was going to throw up. I was so nervous. And then when you go over and play in Europe, I played in Spain. Seve Ballesteros was our captain, intimidating himself on their home turf. And we had a good amount of Americans that came over to pull for our team. But I think Padraig Harrington, the captain of the European team, who's from Ireland, he made a good comment to his team, and he said it on camera this morning, that because of COVID and the pandemic, we're seeing way less Europeans to support our team. And I've told all my players they have to embrace this, not try to fight it, but realize that you're going to hit some good shots, you're going to hear some boos to those shots, or you won't hear applause like you normally would when the crowds were in your favor, or even when the pre-pandemic. So that's one thing the European team is going to have to battle this year that's going to be different than the last few years.
Fax, what do you say to the guys tomorrow? It looks like they're going to lead the golf course today with a fairly significant lead if things kind of stay the way they are right now. But you saw in different cases, Medina being one where they had him down, and you see these guys just don't go away. So what's your strategy as far as pairings? Do you mix things up a little bit to try to just really stomp on them tomorrow?
I can tell you one thing. These American players, they want to win this thing as badly as they can, by as much as they can. There's going to be no niceties. I don't think Stricker's going to lay down and say, let's just give him a point or two here. They know what it's like to lose. The Americans got destroyed last time, in Paris. So I don't think there's going to be any mercy here if the Americans keep this up. But granted, we're one-fifth of the way done, or a little bit further than that. There's still a lot of golf to be left to be played today. The Europeans are tenacious. You know, when you see guys like McIlroy, this kid Victor Hovland from Norway is one of the best players in the world. And these matches are all still pretty close, except for the first one with Dustin Johnson and Xander Schauffele.
Brad, watch out for that train, please. But we do appreciate you taking the time here on Overdrive, and enjoy the rest of the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I love coming on your show. I hope that I don't know who the Canadians pull for in this Ryder Cup. I don't know if they're more like Switzerland or not. Hmm. Who do you want to win?
America. That's a one week of the year, Brad. I'm American, buddy.
I like it.
I'm married to an American. I have no choice, Brad, or I would just, the locks will be changed in this house, that's for sure.
Ah, I hear you. I like it. So, listen, I love coming on. Anytime I can help, please give me a call.
All right, Brad, take care.
Thanks.
That is Brad Faxon, PGA Tour Champions player. You heard him. He was in the 1995 and 1997 Ryder Cup, and he has a podcast, Just the Facts Podcast.
I love
when you can play on your name to come up with a cool podcast. Are you watching right now? Oh, what's going on over there?
Well, I'm trying to do my job, but I just peek out of there. I just have an update once in a while.
Hmm. Hey, I got the that was a good question.
Yeah, you did.
What
get
do I
that.
Win? Do I get anything?
I don't know. I thought my question, he even said that's a good question as well. I was very proud.
You're just broadcasting the Olympic Games, and you want a gift pack for a good question on our stupid show? Come on.
You know what, O? Your dance was enough for me. That was a gift right there. I appreciate
there you go.
It.